Please be seated. I have to confess, it's hard to preach through Revelation during the Christmas season. But it's amazing that, you know, God loves us so much. All he does all the time is to minister to us, giving us hope as we learn today in the Advent candle lighting, giving us all the things that are good for us when the enemy, all he wants to do is destroy us. And so even as we go through briefly today, this passage, I want you to understand what a great and awesome Savior we have, the God who loves us so much, proven on the cross of Calvary. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you so much for the season that reminds us of your great gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary, sacrificing all so that we may have life. Thank you so much for that. And Lord, as we go through this passage in Revelation 13, would you speak to our hearts, give us wisdom and insight, and allow us, Lord, to leave here giving you praise and glory and being filled in our hearts with the joy that comes because we know you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I remember when I first started ministry, that was in 1980, a long time ago, 35 years ago. And I had somebody working with us who eventually became missionaries to Thailand. And I remember sending him letters. And he would tell us the things that we need to do so that he'll know that he'll get the letter. Underneath the stamp, we will put down a number, 1, 2, 3, depending on which letter it is, you know, how many letters that we sent. First one will be 1, the next one's 2, and so forth. And we would glue it on because they don't get all the letters. So they would know and open it up and say, ooh, number 4, but I didn't get the first 3, right? So they know that people opened it up and whatever they did. And it would take 3 months to get a reply, literally. I would send this letter, goes over the postal, mail, whatever it is, gets to Thailand eventually, and then he'll send me a letter back. 3 months. Oh, how things have changed, huh? Now I can take out my phone and I text anybody, anywhere in this world. If I have his number, he's getting instantly, and it may cost me 25 cents for that. For that matter, email, or I can just pick up the phone and call them. In fact, recently, people from Ukraine, a place where we go all the time, they can call us for less than a penny, or no more than 2 cents, depending what carrier, literally a minute. Amazing. That's only 35 years ago. I can't imagine the people understanding how the stuff we're reading in Revelation can happen 2,000 years ago. They probably thought about it, you know, but it's hard for them to figure that one out. But it's not too hard now, is it? We talked about a few weeks earlier how the prophecies in the Bible are just coming through. You know, it's becoming reality. Just the formation of the nation of Israel, which disappeared for 1,900 years, boom, you know, in 1948 came to be. And all these other things that are happening, computerized digital things, and later on we'll talk a little bit about that 666 thing. How can anybody have that? You just put a little pencil and write it on your hands? What does that mean? It can be like, oh no, not today. You know, you chip your dog, you chip your cat. I even heard about chipping fish that come in, expensive fish that come from China, these little arowanas that Chinese love. They put a chip in the gill of this little tiny fish. It scans through the airports as it goes to the person who bought it. It's not real hard for us to understand these things. Not only that, we're looking at possibilities of how people can actually give offerings and all. Once upon a time, you have to write a check, right? You got to put it in. We still have that. You put it in the offering plate. But you know what? You can go online and click, 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 click. Now you can even do some other things, amazing things. You know, you take your cell phone out, you just click and boom, it's done. Because they charge you later, of course, you do get charged, just know that. Amazing things. So when we get to this chapter, Revelation 13, and in case you are following it, and I hope you are, we're not going every little verse. It'll be really hard. It'll take a year to go through Revelation, preaching it through. And it is my first time preaching it through in 35 years of ministry. You can see that there's something phenomenal here. Today, I want to share with you, and I thought about this a lot. I prayed it through. What would I want you guys to leave here with? I don't want you to leave here scared. That's not the purpose of Revelation. I don't want you to leave here with a bunch of knowledge, you know, a bunch of stuff, possibilities. That's good, but not in the worship service, not in the message. What would I want you to leave here with? And I came up with this. I want you to leave here wise, but also confident in who we worship, the God that we worship, wise and confident. So today we want to talk about the evil triumvirate, the threesome. In case you think there's a lot of evil people and a lot of evil situations in this world, yes, there are. But these three you want to know about. Okay? So the first one, the dragon. Dragon. I'm glad we didn't put up a real scary dragon picture. But, you know, there's all kinds of pictures you can get really scary in the internet. You know, just get it out. But the dragons, usually, all these cultures and the thousands of years are usually treated as really evil and wicked and terrible being. You know, however you want to look at a dragon. But amongst Chinese, though, it's interesting, many of you are Chinese here, dragon is a good thing. You know, it's a lucky thing, right? You want a dragon. So Chinese New Year, you always have these dragon dances, you got all kinds of dragon. And in fact, that's one of the chief fish I mentioned to you earlier. There's a fish called arowana, and arowana is this long fish with a big mouth like this, you know. It looks like a dragon, so Chinese love that, and that's why it's so expensive, thousands of dollars to buy one of these little fish. So the Chinese think dragons are good luck and good fortune and so forth. But in most culture, in most folklores, and certainly in the Bible, the dragon is seen as a fiendish, evil, whatever it is, the great dragon. And the Bible speaks of the dragon as Satan himself. Satan, who once upon a time was this beautiful creature, the greatest of all creation amongst angels. The morning star even, you know, star here, and the light, the most beautiful, powerful being. He now is called the dragon. And at this point in time in the book of Revelation, he is that being that rules this earth. In case you don't know, someday it'll change. The Lord will change it. But the enemy, Satan, the dragon himself, rules this world. It is God's creation. And no matter what the dragon does, God still has ultimate control and he's sovereign. But at this moment in time, the dragon rules. So when you see all these political situations, the world situation, all these evil things happening, you say, what is going on? Well, you got to know. He who rules this world wants that because he hates God. And the way he hurts God is to hurt his image and his people. So when you see all these horrendous situations happening in the Middle East, when you see these things happening in Paris, you know, these terrorism, these wars and all kinds of stuff, you got to know who's doing this. It is Satan himself. And he is called the dragon. This is the first of the triumvirate, evil triumvirate. These three beings are important for you to keep in mind, to be wise about it and to be confident in this, that God has overcome them and that they will not rule permanently. Now, the second one is what I want to focus on a little bit more on. And the Bible here talks about the beast out of the sea, which we call the Antichrist. This is interesting here because a lot of people want to figure out who he is. You say, what does it matter anyway? You know, the evil people, the conquerors all over the place, there have been many little antichrists all the time. You go all the way back, you can go thousands of years, there's always somebody that wants to conquer the world, somebody that rules. And what does it matter to us as Christians? Well, it matters to us because, you see, sometimes I think the Christians in our community, in our churches, and even the church overall, somehow we get this idea that this world is going to get better. We're going to change it by what we do. I know there's a climate, you know, summit crisis, whatever it is, in Paris right now, meeting as if the world can figure itself and save the world. I know that. But you know, in the late 1800s, similar things happened. The society was getting so good, and technology was advancing so quickly, if you can imagine it, in the 1800s, before even cars were, you know, invented and all that, no airplanes and so forth. They thought that they can change this world and turn it into a utopia of sort. And sometimes I think even God's people are fooled into thinking that's what's going to happen and that the end will never come. Oh, you know what? The end is going to come. It is going to come. And not only will it will come with a lot of evil in it. And not just one nation that's evil or some people that are evil. There is going to be a worldwide conglomeration of it, and there'll be one person ultimately. He's called the beast out of the sea. In case you want to know what that means, the sea is oftentimes seen as people. It is kind of scary. You don't know what they are, mysterious, right? You don't know what's in the sea. But out of sea means out of the sea of people. This is typically the symbolic understanding of it. And you say, who is this person? Who is this person? Once upon a time, we were very interested in it, and probably still today, because later on it says this person is going to have the number 666, and so people are trying to gather what it is, and every single person is imaginable. You can get that, oh, he's got the number 666. I was reading some articles about it, and I'm told that some people used to think it was Adolf Hitler. Of course, he's dead now. We don't know, right? Adolf Hitler must be this. And in fact, if you just kind of match things, these are just some things that people do, conspiracy theorists. If you match letters with numbers, the alphabet with numbers, if you say A is 101, B is 102, C is 103, you could Google that, okay? If you put the word Hitler, the name Hitler in there, it will add up to 666. You know, so that's one of those theories. And then there's Henry Kissinger. When I was growing up, we were sure Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist. He had to be the Antichrist. Absolutely. Look at him, you know? And then, of course, Obama, President Obama, he's 666 somewhere, too. And there's all kinds of that, right, going on. Who is this beast out of the sea? Well, whoever it is, rest assured that this is a person that is going to be the world ruler. He is going to be the world dictator. He's going to be mighty politically. He's going to be mighty militarily. He's going to have no other that's going to challenge him at all. And the interesting thing is, it says that he has all these heads and crowns and all that. We don't have time to talk about all those things. But one thing you want to know about the crowns, in the Greek word, it's Stephanos. In case you don't know, crown doesn't mean the same. There's another word for crown, which is diadema. Diadema is what we call the crown him with many crowns. This is God. He deserves to be crowned. He is the ruler of all universe because he is. But Stephanos is not. Stephanos, that crown is when you win it. You go and race, right? And you get a crown because you came in first place. Or you go and conquer. And after you conquer, you got the crown. And that's what this one is. He has those kind of crowns. And in fact, the crowns are given to him. In fact, the world has given it to him. One of the things that you can find today is that there are some situations in this world, and probably in the near future, it's going to happen even more, that people are very desperate. Right now, people are looking for a savior to stop this terrorism. Amazing thing is, you know, once upon a time, Paris or the French people are very liberal in the sense of you can't do this, you can't do that, everybody's got the right, you know, you can't do these police actions and all that. Once this thing happened just a couple weeks ago, what happened? They're breaking into doors. You're having your breakfast and having, doesn't matter what it is, they don't care. Why? Because that's what happens. Once upon a time, there were movies that, you know, if you're flying an airplane and you're carrying a virus, you remember some of those movies? Are we gonna let you land? You're carrying, no. After 9/11, you kidding? You got something like that around? There's F-14s right around you. They'll blow you right out of the sky. No issue at all. Because people are looking for someone, something to save them. And right now it's terrorism, worldwide terrorism. It isn't even as bad as it's going to be. But later on, it's going to be other things. There's going to be a worldwide crisis. Everybody knows that. There's not a single person in the world that doesn't believe that there's going to be a worldwide economic financial crisis. You cannot have $19 trillion in one country owing and not have that. You know that's going to happen. And when that happens and all these horrible things happen, they're going to look for a savior. And 2,000 years ago, you know, they were looking at it as it's the Roman Empire, because there was this great empire. But today, it's worldwide. It's not just one area. It's not just the Middle East. It's not just Europe. It's the whole world. Who is that going to be? There are many little antichrists, but it's going to be that one, a final one. And it talks about it, and this is going to be someone that's demonized. In fact, the abyss we talked about a little earlier, it's going to be open. People can be demonized, you know. People can be possessed. This person, no doubt, will be demonized. There's going to be a great big demon that's going to run his life. He is going to rule this world. This is what's going to happen. And so you say, why are you telling us all that during Christmas time? It's kind of scary. No, just so you know and understand and be wise about it. When you look at the world and there's these people rising out of the world and they're like this savior out there, just know this, especially the church, know this, that there is this antichrist being formed. Who knows when it'll be? Maybe it's 5 years from now, maybe a year from now, maybe 50 years from now. I don't know, but you know it's going to happen because this is prophesied. And we as God's people need to understand, as our world is moving toward that direction, be wary of it, be wise in it, and also be confident of what will happen, because this person who will run this world is not going to run this world forever. Because God has a plan, and he's going to force that, make that happen. The second beast, in linking with this one, is the beast out of the earth. Interesting that this is part of it. So the guy's already politically in control of this world, right? Completely. All the empires of this world, whether the United States, whether Europe, Africa, Asia, they're all going to bow down to this man. This man's going to rule. What mechanism he will rule, I'm not sure. If people guess things like the United Nations, I don't think so. European Union, I don't know. But he's going to rule. But that's not enough. And it's interesting that it happens like this, because there has to be something not just political, not something military, but also something religious. Because you see, you and I, we are creatures that are different than any other creatures created by the Almighty God. We are people that are religious. You know, my little puppy dog, you know, Chloe, she doesn't care about religious things. She doesn't go and put her little paw up together and bow to any idol. She doesn't do that. She just looks at her food and worships the food, I think. But us, we have something lacking all the time. There's a void inside of us, right? That can only be filled with religion. And so it's interesting that even the atheists worship something. So the religious need of man is so important. Well, guess what? Then the end time, the false prophet or the beast out of the earth will come to be. And in describing this beast or this false prophet, it seems like he's not scary. He looks like a real meek, mild, a lamb, like a lamb with a couple of little horns. You know, you see that, oh, that's so cute. And that's what he is. He's going to get people to worship the Antichrist. I want you guys to know something. This is really bothersome for me. There's all kinds of religion, right? We got Mormons. They came out. It's a cult. We know that. But, you know, it's a big religion, particularly in certain parts of the country. And, in fact, worldwide, they're all over. These Mormon temples are sprouting up, right? We have Islam. We know what happened about 500 A.D. Boom, this thing came out. In 19 countries across the world, are Muslim countries. Okay, that's a big deal. We got Hinduism, a big part of 1 billion people in India worship that. And then we have Buddhism that spreads out all over, and everybody's getting into it. So you say, it must be one of those religions somewhere. But it's still a big part of the world that will call themselves Christians. And in America, we still have about 70%+ of the people who call themselves Christians. But very small amount of these are real born-again, God-fearing, you know, Christians, born-again believers. But there's a big part of even that that is pulling to something that scares me half to death. And I think is really worrisome. And maybe some of you have been locked into it too. And I don't mind stepping in it, all right, talking about it. But there's a group of what is called, I don't know if they call it evangelical community, that's believing that there's going to be seven new apostles going out there. In fact, they're giving these rings out there. They're going to our churches today and preaching and talking. And they even have groups. There's a big group in California. There's a group called International House of Prayer, IHOP. There's other groups there in Louisiana. There's supposed to be this apostle there. They have given new prophecies, new revelations, and they're doing all these things. They're dominating our music for young people because they got great worship. They're doing these miraculous things. They're writing books. They're being worshipped. These characters, some of them, you might even read their books and all. And yet, when you look at the theology, it isn't fitting into what the Bible says. And these are just drawing people to them. And I wonder if that's not a part of the plan. So we as God's people need to be confident of who we believe in, who we worship, the Word of God, because somewhere down the line, not only is the world going to be captivated militarily, politically, but you're going to be worshiping this person. Interesting, you know, not only does it capture your heart, but you almost have no choice. You got to have this mark on you. We talked about this just a moment ago. Once upon a time, it's hard to think that, but now it's not. And it's interesting that they don't force it on you. The Antichrist does not force this mark on you. You have to take it. You either take his name or his number. You got to take it. You see, because it is about your will, your choice to worship the living God, Jesus Christ our Lord, or not. And you don't have a choice to do one or the other. I mean, you have a choice to do one or the other. You don't have a choice to do something else. You're going to worship the beast or you're not. And if you don't worship the beast, you're going to suffer. And I wonder how many people can suffer. You willing to take that or not? And there's all kinds of reasons for that. You know, for the sake of my family, my children, on and on and on, we do all kinds of stuff now. We think going to church, we think practicing as a Christian. We say, you know, whatever it is already too hard for us. Can you imagine one day when it's like you take this little chip, put it on your palm or your back of your hand, or put it on your head, or else you can never, never, never work or buy anything. I remember a friend of mine, Alexander Dutnik. He passed away already a long time ago. He was this pastor, Baptist pastor in Ukraine. When I first went there, I met him. And every time we went, we would go and meet him. Simple little house that he lives in, barely any electricity, no running water and so forth. And he began to tell me the story of what happened to him. He was a Baptist pastor before World War II, under communism. And the communists came at him and said, "You cannot preach this. We do not believe it. We do not allow you." And he did anyway. So this is what the communists, the KGB, told all his family and friends. If he continues this, he's not allowed to work. He cannot make a living. He will not have any sustenance at all. And all the neighbors around him were told, if you help him, you'll be punished just like that. Does this sound a little bit like this right here? And so he was say, you know, in the middle of the night, his friends, you know, his neighbors would come and sneak some bread to him. And I think he has something like 8 or 9 children. I met a bunch of them. I know some of them. And that's how he continued. He just stuck at it. He didn't care. During World War II, he lost his wife. He went through the Nazi thing and on and on. And afterwards, he continued. And I want to tell you, in that city, the city of Mariupol, where we go to. Finally, when the communists gave way, it was that church that stuck with it. About 40 or 50 Baptist people that said, you know, our pastor let us through. We're going to stick with it. We're going to stay that way. And as a result of that church, that man, that ministry, so many thousands gave the lives of Jesus Christ later. Are we going to be willing to do that? When someone comes up to us and says, you know what? Take the number 666 or else. And by the way, number 666, in case you want to know what it is, you say, what is it about? You know, because it says it takes wisdom, and if you are wise, you'll figure out who this man is. 666 is very simple. The number 6 is a number of man. See, the number 7 is the number of God. And in case you don't know, okay, you remember I told you, I share with you, the rainbow over the throne of God has 7 colors. The rainbow that is flown in America today, the rainbow flag has 6 colors. Very specific. The enemy doesn't play around either. He knows exactly what he wants. 6 is going to be the number of man. 7 is the number of God. What are 666 adds up to whoever? One day, I'm sure, when this man comes to be, we will know if we're still here. So I go back to the beginning. What do I want? What do I wish for this message to do for you and me? Well, to be wise. To be wise. When you see these heroes out there, when you see these people that promise peace and prosperity, be wise. Know that this is the direction the world goes. But second, more important, be confident, because the God that we worship is the same God that conquered death. It's the same God that rose from the dead. It's the same God that brings us to a place where we have no fear of anything like that. This is the God we worship. And during this Christmas time, rejoice in the fact that we know him. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you will make us wise in CBC. Would you allow us, Lord, to be confident of who you are and what you will do? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that no matter what this world does to us, who this world in this world would do to us, they can never take away our salvation found in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we worship you and thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray.